Welcome everybody to the meeting. Acknowledge the country. Council acknowledges the traditional custodians of land at which the meeting is held and pays with respect to elders both past and present and extends that respect to other Aboriginal people who are present. Will you please turn off all mobile telephones, please? You can go, Roger.
Councillors and members of the public, just a reminder that the meeting is recorded, so please be mindful of your language and comments.
Apologies and leave of absence. Have you got any apologies?
No apologies, Mr. Mayor. We do have a full house.
Confirmation of the minutes of the council meeting held on the 20th of February 2020. Mover.
I move.
I'll second it.
Councillor Brady.
Business
arising for a minute.
Right. I'm not sure of the item in the paper in the actual minutes, but it's covered in the reports to come back to council. It was to do with the credit cards or the cards that were going to be issued in Coonabarabran for the whole shire. And there was it says in the report on the minutes that a report would be brought back to this meeting. So. I'd just like to know if that's happening because it's not in this business paper.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, no, that didn't happen. The report was prepared but needed some changes, so it didn't make it in time for the business paper, but it will be back to the April meeting.
Okay, now given that that's part of the budget, the items we discussed yesterday, and I said I think we should probably discard all of those items that were coming from the public. That one I think should be left in the budget at this stage until we receive the report. It was a matter of urgency that the Mayor declared last meeting. We haven't had a report back. The reason we were looking for that report was because it was going to be a future budget item. So I'd be saying that should be left in the budget papers until we get that report back and we can consider it properly.
Either way, that matter will be dealt with at the next council meeting, because both the budget and that report will be at the next council meeting. So council has the opportunity then to direct one way or another which way it wants to go.
Any more business arising? A mover?
No, you've got a mover.
I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Are you in favour?
Yes.
Carried unanimously. Disclosure of interest, pecuniary interest and non-pecuniary. Got any? Councillor Dillon.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. The item 33 about the golf club. I'm a member of the golf club. And my wife is the ladies' captain.
Non-pecuniary interest.
No, I think it's a non-pecuniary. Non-significant, non-pecuniary interest?
Less than significant.
Less than significant, non-pecuniary interest.
I've got one, item 35. Yours is item 35
too. Oh, 35, sorry.
Item 35, again, to do with the golf club. Non-pecuniary conflict of interest.
And the interest, councillor?
Sorry?
The interest?
That my wife is the treasurer of the golf club. I didn't make any comments.
I might have a talk to you about that on the side, if I could.
There are minutes. We'll ask Roy Butler to make a presentation to us.
As I said, folks, I haven't actually prepared anything to come and talk to you about, but I suppose... Oh, it's got to be recorded, isn't it? I suppose I would take the opportunity just to thank you very much for inviting me along tonight, and I don't know if this means anything to you, but with 13 councils, there's some councils who cause me sleepless nights. You're not one of them, which is actually a really good thing. So I look forward over however long I'm in this role to working with you to try and bring about the outcomes that you want for your community. I've always said and I've always acknowledged that local government is the most connected level of government with the people. If you want to know what's happening in an area, talking to councillors and talking to mayors and GMs is a really good way of understanding what the sentiment is on the street, what the priorities are for a town. And I try and take advantage of that as I travel around. Also going to try to get to one council meeting in every one of the 13 local government areas and to village committee meetings in the unincorporated area up around Tibberborough and Packsaddle, which is a challenge with the calendar and a challenge with spending 20 to 26 weeks of the year in Sydney. But so far we're managing to get around, which is good. I also think you were very lucky getting the show in. It was a great show. And I know that there's a lot of towns that will be envious that you got a show in and they're going to miss out on one. Hopefully this what's happening with coronavirus doesn't last long enough to have a massive economic impact, even though the risk is that we're already got a weakened economies in regional New South Wales, and this less than 100 people indoors and 500 outdoors, no shows, no ag fairs, no concerts, no festivals, could have a lasting and profound impact economically if it's not subsidised in some way by state and federal governments to make sure that businesses stay open, that people stay employed, and that towns continue to operate. I am particularly concerned about population leaving Western New South Wales. Not so much Coonabarabran, you're probably not the higher risk one. It's more the smaller towns out west, Berks, the Walgetts, obviously Menindee's, Copter Hiding, who have lost a lot of people. Berk, between 2011 and 2016, lost 30% of its population, which has an impact on house prices, has an impact on the critical mass that's required to keep services for health and education and those type of things. If I can take just a moment, Mr. Mayor, just to introduce John Clements, who's sitting behind me up here. John is the senior electorate officer based in Narrabri. I've got three electorate offices, Narrabri, Cobar and Broken Hill, total of nine staff. It is the biggest electorate in the state at around 44.5%, which is why they give me more staff than anyone else as well, which is good, and more officers. John, as the SEO, looks after your local government area from a correspondence perspective. So if Roger or Dennis needs, sorry, Mr. Mayor or the GM needs something, they're able to get in contact with me or John, and we'll get the reps sent off to the relevant minister and obviously facilitate that information coming back. We are here to help, and we really do want to make regional towns a good place to live. That's been a real focus of mine, quality of life for people living in the West. So I'm looking forward to working with you over the next 3 or 7 years, however long it's going to be, to do just that. And I won't bore you to tears and tell you about my history. You can probably find that information online, but I've had 17 years working across the Barwon electorate and a long association with the Warrumbungle Shire Council, given I've lived in the Warrumbungle Shire since 2004, and very happy to have lived in the Shire since 2004. And I still think Mendoran's a fantastic town for anyone that likes Mendoran. One day I'd love to, I know you've got some community consultations over there, and I understand you move the council meeting around as well. So hopefully one day we can cross paths in Mendoran and I can slip along to another meeting. That'd be great. But I'll leave it at that and let you get on with your meeting. I don't want to tie up your time. You've all got stuff to do and families to get home to at some stage. But thank you very much again for allowing me to come along today and have a chat with you. And if we can help you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out and get in touch. And of course, we'll do whatever we can.
Thanks for this, John, and thanks for attending this forum. And it's been a great help to our council, we hope. Thank you.
No, that was a bonus one.
Purple look good on you.
It's better than the
yeah. Has to be clean.
We'll carry on with our meeting now. Item number one, a mayoral meeting, mayor's activity. Mover, Councillor Shenton. Seconder, Councillor Brady. I'll put the mark.
Oh. Just one thing, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, the unanswered phone calls. Back to Mr. Estens. Have we got through you, or maybe we direct it to the director about that, the flooding in that area? Have we got anything we can say about that, Kevin?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, we've been in contact just recently with Mr. Estens to set up a meeting, but he's in Northern Territory at the moment. He's asked a number of questions, which we will attempt to respond to, but, yeah, that's the extent of our contact at the moment.
Councillor Dillon.
Oh, yeah, no, there's a bit of action on it. That's
motion, those in favour. Carried unanimously. Item number two, Councillor Monthly Travel Claim. Mover. Councillor Table, Councillor Clancy. Question this item. Motion, those in favour. Carried unanimously. Delegates report to the Central West Regional WED meeting held on Tuesday the 18th. Councillor Shenton, seconder. Councillor Lewis. Any discussion on this item? Put the motion. Those in favour. Carried unanimously. Delegates report to the Mining Energy Related Council meeting held on the 5th of March. Move Councillor Shenton. Second to Councillor Cable. Any discussion on this item? I'll put the motion. Those in favour. Carried unanimously. Item 5, Delegates Report to the Country Mayor's Meeting Association. I'll move that one. A seconder. Councillor Cable. Any questions? Motion, no. Everybody put the motion. Councillor Lewis, are you voting?
Yes.
Yeah, carried unanimously. Item 6, Traffic Advisory Committee meeting held on the 27th of February. Mover. Councillor Shenton. Councillor Hill. Any discussion of these items?
That's how long it takes to do the disabled parking plans.
Anzac Day is cancelled, that's one thing we can. Motion, those in favour. Carried unanimously. Item 7, minutes of the Warrnambool Aerodrome Advisory Committee. Mover. Councillor Doolan. Councillor Hill. Items to discuss this. Nobody, no discussion. I'll put the motion. Those in favour. Carried unanimously. Item 8, minutes of the Local Emergency Management Committee. Councillor Doolan, Councillor Brady. Discussion these items. Councillor Doolan.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Director Tai, if I could. I've just had representation made to me by Graham Bowden, and it's just to do with, again, with a rural addressing. He was called out to a vehicle that was leaking oil, and the address he was given sort of sent him up the Mundoran Road where he should have been sticking on the highway. And he was most concerned that if it was more something more serious than a leaking vehicle leaking oil, if it was a motor vehicle accident, somebody might have died by the time it took them to get there. I was just wondering what would be the process of getting him to address his concerns directly to the next meeting. What's the protocol in organising that he could come and explain the situation rather than situation of Chinese whispers, he tells me and then I half muck it up telling you and then we don't get the problem solved. So
I'm not sure about attending the meeting, sir, Mr. Mayor, but I'm certainly would be able to talk with him, either myself or the officer dealing with real addressing, so I'll make contact if you think that's okay.
That'd be fine.
The LMC is not a public meeting as such.
Right. But I'd appreciate that if you do that. That would be.
Is that a corner block, Councillor Dell?
Beg your pardon?
Is that a corner block where he's going to, where they got the dress from?
No, I think it was just, they were given the locality rather than, so it was the locality of Wattle Springs possibly, and he thought had they just said Newell Highway, they'd have been able to drive until they saw the problem. So they headed along the Mundoran Road rather than up the highway. So he thought
one of those corner blocks are causing a bit of a trouble. Mm.
So he would be able to describe that in better detail than I could. So
yeah, happy to take that on. That's
I appreciate that. Thank you.
More discussion on this item. I'll put the motion. Those in favour. Minutes of the Robertson Oval Advisory Committee meeting. Councillor Cable, you got a seconder? Dillon. Any discussion on these items? Discussion, I'll put the motion. Carried unanimously. Item number 10, minutes of the Kernabarabin Town Beautification Advisory Committee meeting. Councillor Mover, Councillor Doolan, Councillor Brady. In discussion this item, Councillor Cable.
It mentions dead trees in regards to this township, but all the townships, there really needs to be a good look at the trees that didn't survive the drought and their removal before they become widow makers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we are aware of the trees. We've conducted an assessment, worked out how much money we need to address the situation. We're trying to work out how we're going to fund it at the moment. But we are addressing the more hazardous trees in the meantime.
Might be able to sell the mulch to help.
That's on this item. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 11, minutes of the Internal Audit Committee. Mover. Councillor Doolan. Councillor Hill. In discussion this item? Discussion this item, I'll put the motion. Carried unanimously. Item number 12, ALG General Assembly Local Government in Canberra. Got a mover? Councillor Hill. Usually send the Mayor and the General Manager. The General Manager advised me he doesn't wish to go. We take another councillor or any other. I think it will be too. carried over to the next meeting?
Well, Council can, if it wishes to, appoint a delegate now, subject to it being cancelled.
Wait to go. Councillor Shedden.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind going if it was.
Me and Councillor Doolan go. We put that motion up. He put that the motion.
It's already there, Mr. B.
Moving.
Motion. Okay. Unanimously. Thirteen, Drought Communities Program Extension. Mover. Councillor Cable, Councillor Brady. Any discussion on this item? Could you explain a bit more about this, Councillor, Mr. General Manager?
Council considered this matter last year and had a workshop. As a result of that workshop, Council prioritised 20 items to be applied for funding. The resolution of Council was if some of those projects were not successful, then it would go down in priority order. Well, we've had a bit of a change to this in that the application 1 to 15 were successful. It's just that circumstances have changed, and I don't think that there's a need now to provide the free drinking water to residents not in town supplies. So it might be appropriate that Council makes an amendment to its funding and go down the list.
Councillor Cable.
Can we go back to the funding body and ask if we can defer Dark Skies and the shows that didn't get to operate, and possibly even the rodeo and camp draft yet, that can be held over for next year's?
I've had a discussion with the local member in relation to the Dark Skies, and he has indicated that it's already there that we can seek without making application, but we can go until the 31st of March next year. I have had an indication from the president of the Dark Sky Committee that he thinks that they'll have that money spent in any case. It's just now a matter of aligning our milestones for that to be achieved. So I'm just seeking some direction from some staff in relation to that one at this point in time. I would imagine that the same applies to the shows, that if we can get to the 31st of March next year, then we can have those covered off and the money's paid to them. It just depends upon what our milestone agreements are. And probably the same for the expo. Again, depending upon the milestones that we've submitted. I just need to get some advice from staff in relation to those at this point.
This could be the camp draft and rodeo don't fall in that time zone.
Depending upon the milestones, it might be a matter of we just pay them in advance. And,
yep. Okay.
And then that's it. I'm just not, as I said, familiar enough with the milestones on those particular projects. But staff can certainly have a look at those, whoever the responsible staff members are. We have allocated responsibilities.
Councillor Cable, when's the camp draft in Kew? Well, that's about Christmas, I bet.
I think it's August, September-ish.
Over this by then.
Well, hopefully, but who knows? Just make sure we've got the option in case it isn't over.
Of comment on this, Councillor? Councillor Brady?
I was just going to say the same as Anne Louise with the shows and everything, but then also the Rampart Cooler office. When we had the meeting, it was... How does a ramp go from 180,000 down to 72,000?
It hasn't.
It hasn't.
We have some co-contribution.
It's in the budget.
It's co-contribution from Council.
Well, just on that, 180,000 is a lot of money for a ramp, isn't it? Do they see us coming every time we put a tender in?
That's a quote at this stage. It was only to get us to the application stage. Kevin, you might like to talk further on that.
Uh, Through you, Mr. Mayor, we're preparing a brief to seek quotations, and so we expect to advertise and hopefully we'll get three or four or more competitive quotes. We can only do that.
And furthermore, I thought, in line with Councillor Shinton's motion that's coming up later on, I thought at the time, and we erred in not funding the Fringe Brigade's tank application, and then having it explained to me in a bit more detail since then that we really did make a mistake by not doing that. I thought this might have been an opportunity to fund that. Out of that money we won't be now spending or allocating on free drinking water, but what's the prospects of sourcing some other funding for that somewhere else, or comparing that to doing up the basketball courts? What's the people's feelings there?
Sorry. On that particular point, it's up to council if he wants to bring that particular project forward into to fund it now. Having said that, though, I have had discussions with the RFS in relation to that, and there are opportunities through the RFS to prioritise that particular project. It's purely up to the RFS whether it becomes a priority for them or not. And in talking to them also, it was indicated that that quantity of water would not be actually required, that if it was going to go ahead, then a lesser quantity of water would be most appropriate.
Oh, well, that sounds reasonable.
Question this item.
But if you want to prioritise it now, now's your opportunity to put it in.
Well, they'd have had that same $10,000 grant that our fire brigade received out of all that bushfire money. They might be able to.
It's there available. Mm. But not only that, if other brigades nearby aren't using theirs, maybe they could add to it so that project does get done if they don't have any use for it within their own little site.
Yeah, right. Oh, no. Well, it seems like events have overtaken my concerns, and I'd be happy to go with the recommendation. Will that be enough to do it? That the basketball courts, the 100, what will that do for us?
I'm not in a position to answer that at the moment until we scope up the project.
The estimate at the time was 127,000. We're talking about 100,000. Worst comes to worst, then council could possibly either add some of its own funds into that, or hopefully one of those other projects which you've just mentioned may come in a bit under.
There's also the club grants. You might be able to apply and leverage.
Could do that, but I think our timelines are going to beat us on that.
Oh, well, no, I'm happy to vote for the recommendation now. Thank you.
Motion, those in favour. Councillor Nucci, carried.
Can I still ask, what is actually classed as a community hall?
Unanimous.
When we've had discussions about halls in Coola more recent times?
This is in relation...
Where is it?
It's almost opposite the central school.
Yep.
Still that...
Yeah, it should have youth in the business paper.
Item 14, 2020 local government elections. Move up. Round the table. Councillor Shenton.
Australian Women in Local Government are supposed to be running a workshop over at Gunnedah at some stage. That will be the closest workshop for any women that are interested. I haven't seen anything about other workshops. Before I ran in my first term, I went down to Mudgee for a general one, but if we could just keep an eye out and promote the one in Gunnedah if it does go ahead, that might be helpful. And keep an eye out for any others.
Here, what I have done is I've sought a quote to run a workshop in this local government area for ourselves. The quote is just over $4,000, but it's not much more to hold two workshops. So I think it was about $5,500 to run two workshops. So when I say council hold a candidate briefing workshop, that's what I was referring to.
Yeah, I understand that, and I just thought I'd let everyone know there's also the Gunnedah option, because when I ran, there was nothing near us except at Mudgee.
Oh, this is talking about this council holding them.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'll put the recommendation. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 15, citizenship ceremony dress code policy. Councillor Mover, Councillor Hill, Councillor Capel. Question on this item? Councillor.
Oh, thank you.
We've been copying a fair bit of pressure from the relevant department to deal with this matter.
I think the problem has not been in country areas. I think it's more in the city areas where you see them dress up as frogmen and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, but anyway, yeah, it is strange. Yeah.
They're expressing their freedom.
It is.
I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 16, employers benefits and on cross. Councillor Sutton, Mover. Councillor Capel, second. Any discussion on this item?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the report. I found that very interesting. I spent most of the day going through that, picking out things to ask, because when all said and done, this is one third of our budget expense is wages and on costs. But again, I've still got a couple of problems, and if you just bear with me, I'll outline them. 2013, 196 employees, $14,190.
That's 14 million, Councillor.
14 million, yeah, I beg your pardon. 2019, 16,327,000. With 19 less employees, it cost 2,137,000 more. That's about 15%. Now, I compared apples with apples, so I took the overtime and casual employee costs from the total employee costs and got a $2,674,928 increase. Well, that's 26%, even though we're employing so many less people. I just still cannot get my head around why such an incredible increase with so many less employees. But I don't know if you can answer off the cuff, but I'll just keep going because, like I said, it is a third of our budget, and we spent something like 3 hours last night looking at the 1,000s and 4,000s. This is the 10 million sort of stuff, and of course, we just let that go through without a comment. Anyway, I kept reading through, and I noticed that there's a statement there that says, in 2019, Council resolved that steps need to be taken to introduce measures to reduce and manage operating expenditure, and so doing so adopted the financial planning and sustainability policy. In order to reduce and manage operating expenditure, there's been a focus on staffing levels, hence the reduction in the expenditure and the salaries outlined above. But I found it to be more of an increase.
Well, on that particular point, Councillor, that reference is made in relation to 2018 to 2019.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going on then, is the $806,000 in overtime and over $1 million in casual appropriate with that statement being said? You know, that's a lot of... overtime and casual expenses still.
Yes, and when you make that comparison to prior years, particularly 2018, where overtime was $874,000 and casuals were over $2 million, that's relevant.
Okay, and there was another statement made on page 46 that was based upon council's financial position, this structure would have been unsustainable and hence was not implemented. So did council make that call or did management make that call?
There was a report. I wasn't here at the time, obviously, but my understanding is a report was presented to council in 2017 with a particular structure, and within that there was a proposal to add a net, and I say net, 18 positions to the organisation structure.
That's when council determined then that it wasn't sustainable?
No, the determination about it not being sustainable didn't come until 2018.
Then moving on to page 47, I noticed it says, it's about halfway down, as at the day of writing this report, the number of positions within the organisation structure was 216, with a full-time equivalence of 210, we'll say. And it explains what that's all about. And then I go over the page and there's a table there that shows us compared to group 10 and 11. And I, you know, it says there in the paragraph above, revenue and expenditure is far greater than the other councils in the group 10, and we're better compared with group 11. Probably dead right. But when you look across it, Warrumbunga, I know that that's our actuals and this is averages, but equivalent full-time staff for Warrumbunga is 210. The Group 10 average is 110, so we're 100 above the average there. And with the Group 11, we're, 45 greater, I just wondered why that would be.
Well, first of all, you need to be careful about the comparisons that you're making there. You're taking what the actual positions are in the organisation structure as opposed to comparing what positions are actually in place. So when you actually compare Warrumbunga, it talks there of 175 as at the this is 17-18 figures, so as at the 30th of June 2018 we had 175 positions in place, whereas those other councils who would be in the same sort of situation, that they wouldn't have all positions filled. Group 10 was 110 and Group 11 were 165.
So I took a licence there, but I thought that was reasonable to ask that question. And the other thing I noticed was our income is sort of 40 million and there, again, Group 10 averaged 25 million, so we're well above that, and 39 million for Group 11. What I was going to say there was... when you look at our expenses, we're $43 million, the others $24 million and $37 million. I was just wondering why we are not able to keep our money. We go into the red. We've got a $3 million deficit there, and the others seem to be able to keep $1 million or $2 million. Why have we got that problem?
Well, that's why we had that report, and we're trying to be reducing our expenditure.
Yeah. What's the other one? Well, in that case, should we be looking at a workforce that's more casuals and people who I've written it down, but I've lost my contractors. Should we be looking at a workforce that's got more contractors and casuals than permanents? Is that
you're going to delve into an area there which, you know, probably requires a fair bit of debate. We don't have a suggestion at this point in time that we contract out our workforce, but if council wants us to look at that, we can do. But all that potentially does is just move it from salaries and wages into materials and contracts as far as costs are concerned. The issue really is about trying to make the organisation more efficient in what it does and reducing its overall expenditure. Which is what we have been trying to do now, and I have said this before and I'll say it again, that it has caused some pain for the organisation, because we have been sitting at, what you pointed out a moment ago, we're sitting at around that 170-odd positions being filled when there have been something like 210 positions identified. So we've been trying to live without certain staff and say, can we live without them? Can't we live without them? We've filled some and we're going to be removing others. So we're just trying to... well, we had that performance review recently and we discussed it there also, and that was identified as a reasonable way to be going to try and cut our costs. The alternative is that council may just have to consider it's going to reduce service levels in different areas and just say we're going to not do particular things. We've been avoiding that at this point in time, but that day is getting closer as we see that, you know, in certain areas we just can't reduce any further without council saying, no, we're just not going to do that any longer.
Okay, on page 49, under salary structure, it says there that it was set up in 2004, revised in 2012, so it looks like every 8 years we have a go at it. Should it be reviewed every 4 years when the, you know, with a council term or something like that? It just seems a long time to have the same...
Yeah, it's one of those things that we have on the agenda to do, but it's not a priority at this point in time while we're dealing with a number of other things. But I can pretty much say to you that when a review happens, don't expect the salary levels to be going down.
And the other one, the last one, of course, was employee entitlements. Thank you for that report too. We've got a liability of $4.446 million. If you had a workforce of with more casuals and contractors, would that reduce the that liability?
Absolutely, that liability would reduce because that liability is carried by permanent employees. But you might pick up in other ways. So with casual employees, for argument's sake, they come with a 25% loading now, and they also actually these days do start accruing certain entitlements as well that don't necessarily appear here. I think where there's a degree of permanency, they carry a sick leave entitlement as well, plus a redundancy entitlement, even though they're casual.
Is that just for local government or is that across the board?
The local government award. Okay. I could be wrong on one of those things, but there has crept into the award some entitlements which they weren't too entitled to previously as a casual employee. There is also another issue, and that's the union. Our unions have been taking issue with casual employees replacing permanent employees. The casualisation of the workforce, and they're saying, and this is actually in the award that there are certain conditions around how you use casuals. And when we were up around the $2 million mark, well, in my view, we were actually breaching the award by what we were doing at the time. Hence, we've been reducing our casualisation.
Well, thank you for that report. I found it quite interesting, actually.
I'm pleased with that, Councillor.
Yes, thank you.
Could you get near a microphone, please, and answer to regard to you?
So Is there a way that we can set the next council on a better footing to start discussing these important strategic issues rather than having to feel their way in the dark? Or is it something that we just have to do via suggestion and not by resolution? I'd seek guidance there from Roger principally. But they are very important. And the other thing to note about casuals and contractors is, in case you didn't hear me before, casuals have the right to, after a while, demand becoming permanent, so that's a big risk from an employment point of view. Let's not forget, though, contractors tend to be specialised and they'll hit you for a maximum price each time. The advantage of having our own staff is that it gives them a sense of security. They're more inclined to stay in the community, whereas contractors are more mobile, so they're important things to think about. The other thing is, and again something we spoke about earlier, is trying to develop staff with a more generalist bent. Just like professionals in town, doctors, lawyers, pharmacists have to be much more generalist in their approach. If we could somehow foster an approach of generalism within our staff so that those who are seasonal or those who are specialised can take on a few different roles, I think we would be much better served as a council and as a community. So we'd have staff that are cemented to our organisation but also more flexible and agile to deal with the tasks as they present themselves. These are important strategic things that we really need to be talking about more.
Exit proposal.
I suppose there's a couple of issues there. A couple of issues there for me to probably address. From a strategic point of view, as I pointed out earlier, we have been trying to reduce our staffing levels to make us somewhat more financially sustainable. Decision is probably going to have to come from council at some point as to the level of services that it does provide. Now, at this point in time, and I'd be looking for some guidance from you, please, Mr. Parker, in relation to some of our community service activities such as Yilawiri Kids, Oosh, the bus, and community care, the understanding is that they're all paying their way currently and our budget is proposed for them to pay their way. Is that correct?
That's what we're attempting to do, yes.
Yeah, are we there?
There's some issues that I have with how to distribute some of the overheads coming from our management of that area, but and there's some, I'm attempting to resolve some rearrangement that I think is necessary. There's also one level of funding that we're negotiating on right now, and part of the problem with the funding organisation is that we believe it needs to be higher than it is, and it also needs to be indexed. So there's a couple of issues.
So generally speaking, though, they're paying their way currently, generally speaking. There's a couple there which need some adjustment.
It partly depends on how much overheads we're applying to them on for administration and IT. So there's some issues there that we have to have another look at, but generally, that's the approach, and in the operating plan and delivery program, if you go to last council meeting when it was reported, you'll note there that the intention of council that's spelled out there is that there is some sort of surplus in those areas, whether it be $1 or $2 or more.
Yep. But that's the expectation, is to get to a small surplus. In relation to the casualisation of the workforce, as you saw in those numbers, there was at one point a very high reliance on casual employees. We've been trying to reduce that reliance. But also, there was a practice here where after a particular period of time being a casual employee, the casuals were entitled to apply for permanent positions as an internal staff member. Now, we have actually changed that in the last 18 months or so, where now, and you probably noticed this in advertising, that we're advertising more jobs. That is because we're not filling necessarily from internal, but we're putting it out there to the marketplace to try and attract what we consider to be the best person for the position. So previously a person was a casual, I think the 60 worked for us for something like 60 days, and then automatically that entitled them to apply for an internal role. But we've stopped that and said no, all positions, unless there's a good reason otherwise, are to be advertised externally, so we're out there to the market for everything that we do. And by reducing our casualisation, we're reducing any risks of casual employees saying that they are permanent employees. So we're being more compliant with that, and we haven't been targeted by the unions for how we've been changing our casual rules. But overall, the issue is going to be that it's going to have to get to some point where we start saying we need to look at our services and service levels to potentially reduce our deficit. We've been trying to avoid that at this point in time, but you know, we've been doing other things. As I said, we've tried not filling positions to see how we go in particular areas. That's been successful in some cases, in other cases it hasn't been. Having said that, though, it's also been a difficult couple of years because the number of projects we've had to take on as well, and the staff have done particularly well in that timing in knocking over a lot of projects, particularly the drought stimulus programs and our Stronger Country Communities, those sort of projects. We've knocked over quite a number of those sort of projects over the last 2 years, which has been particularly pleasing.
Now, I've got a question in regards to projects. Been away bowling club and a few other ones where councils oversees the product or the project or whatever, yet we're paying the project manager. Why doesn't that money come out of the projects?
Well, we haven't actually been paying the project manager in relation to the Been Away Bowling Club. The project manager has been the Been Away Bowling Club.
Employees that are overseeing the project then, that are there telling people what they can and they can't do? They're on a council payroll. That money should come out of the fund, out of the grant money. Not out of account, out of rate.
I might need
pockets.
Some advice here, but I think our staff have been charging their time to that particular project. No, sorry.
And even this last, Mr. Mayor, through Mr. Mayor, the last round, this $1 million, there's no provision in there for council project management. Although I've tried to factor it in to at least get it recorded so we get to see just how much it is. And then if there are any underruns, I'm hoping that I can at least try and claw back some of that. But it comes to when the we seek amounts from the submissions of interest for projects, we're just not factoring in whether it's $100,000 for this or $100,000 that. There should be at least 5% supervision and X amount of other costs that's built in.
That's what I'm saying. Our mate Melong doesn't really care too much about the kitchen at Pinaway Bowling Club. Why is he going to help fund it by paying the employee to go around and check up on it all the time and other projects as well? There should be a percentage in the fund or the grant or whatever for us to oversee it and make sure it's done properly, not coming out of Council's purse.
For you, Mr. Mayor, if the public are actually putting the grant together, if they're applying directly, they can't do a management fee. So maybe that's something that has to be picked up when we're collating and we're the submitter that we're adding it on, because generally speaking, a community group cannot charge that if they're applying to various other grants, so they're not aware that they need to probably put that if they're doing the groundwork for one that council's submitting.
Council's administering the funds, they should charge a percentage of that fund to manage the project.
That particular project that you're referring to is Stronger Country Communities Round 2. Those rules were changed for Round 3, hence why council didn't get the full allocation for Round 3.
Motion. Those in favour, carried unanimously. delegations of authority to the General Manager. A mover.
Now, Mr. Mayor, an addendum report has been presented to councillors in relation to this. In relation to the COVID-19 issue, things have started to move along fairly quickly in relation to that. So, hence the addendum report, which is asking that further delegations be made in addition to the report that is before you, that I won't read through the entire recommendation, but basically it's saying that, one, if the need arises subject to consultation with the Mayor, that the General Manager be authorised to shut services considered non-essential should the need apply, and two, that in addition to existing delegations made to the Mayor, Deputy Mayor, General Manager, that additional functions be delegated to those people under certain conditions. So that would go over and above my existing delegations that you have dealt with there, and say that there's power provided to the Mayor and General Manager under certain conditions, and should there be one of those be ill, then of course there would be redundancy, obviously. Should the Mayor come down ill and be not capable of performing his role, then the Deputy Mayor would fill in, and should I as General Manager not be capable of fulfilling my role, then there's a redundancy there, first in that Director of Environment Development, Leanne Ryan, would be the acting GM, and so on.
Councillor Brady. Councillor Nerzi.
I just seek a small amendment to the recommendation, and we, we add the Deputy Mayor to recommendation point one. So if the need arises and subject to consultation with the Mayor, and we just include the Deputy Mayor as well, that the General Manager be authorised to shut services considered non-essential. I just think it's, in light of this is a health issue, and the Deputy Mayor being a very well qualified practitioner in that area, his input might just be, he's included in the other recommendations in two and so on, so I thought we might put him in the first recommendation.
And just to be clear with that, Councillors Brady and Annuzzi, you're moving recommendations 1 and 2 on page 53 along with recommendations 1 and 2 on the addendum report.
On this item. I'll put the motion.
The movers, are they happy with that to be included? Happy?
Everybody agreeable? I'll put the motion. Harry. I don't know. I should be either, probably.
No, there's no conflict there, Councillor.
You're unanimous. Item 18, Council Resolution Report. Councillor Sinton. Second. Any comment on this item?
Yes, in the January meeting I brought up, I was about to bring up one of the reports that I'd asked to come back, and it said it would be reported to the February meeting. So at the February meeting, it wasn't. There's no report being brought back. So I looked at this time at the resolution, which was 362/18/19, 18th of 4th, 2019, and that particular little piece has been erased, and now it just says that there's a lease being taken out. So we still don't have a report, even though it was promised for February meeting.
Don't want to be critical of you, Councillor, but we didn't have a January meeting.
Sorry, in the February meeting, it said it would be... No, well, it must have been the December meeting then. So I waited till February, and it wasn't there.
So what resolution number was that?
362-1819. I haven't found it yet, but that relates to the sport and rec building and the issue. So Elise, I understand a lease agreement has been forwarded to the user down there, the boxing club, and but the issue around fees and who pays what is still to be sorted out.
Well, I suppose another question is, what's happening down there? Is it with all the COVID-19 regulations, that's a council facility? Is it still open, or what are we doing there?
I'll venture first through Mr. Mayor. It's still a community activity. So in some respects, it's I'm not sure that it's a council call. It's more the club or the users that are making use of the facility. Council doesn't manage the activities down there.
The youth, the drop-in centre, it's closed. But that was Centre Care's call to close, even though the kids are together at school. They're all the same kids that go straight down there, but that was the precaution they've taken.
But I would also be saying at this point in time it's not outside the directions from the government, the health department, which are 500 people outdoor, 100 people indoor. Any one time too.
Okay, resolution 25-18-19 to do with flood studies. Is there any way we can speed that process up, considering EPA have got some issues about the cooler sewage works?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I don't have an answer for you at this stage. I'll have to take that on notice. But it does refer to a flood study that's required. I do know that...
Boats are being sought.
Yeah,
at the
Cornelia
moment.
Was seeking some information, but I don't have to hand, so I can inform you here.
It's 32-18-19, quarry policy developed. Have we done any more on that? And can we please remember there was a suggestion a few years ago that some would, instead of being fully reclamated, be used as a water point, such as the one between Cooler and Wee Talibar? There's that. It holds water very well. It'd be pointless filling that one in because it's a handy water source for council. So can we just remember to identify those helpful ones in that policy?
Yeah, through Mr. Mayor, thanks for your comments about that. But no real action has been taken at this stage on that policy, which covers all those gravel pits, about 142 of them across the Shire.
64-18-90, Walkden Bridge. Is it getting close to being ready to submit if there is a lot of infrastructure funding coming online to keep the country moving?
Through Mr. Mayor, that project has had some initial investigation, but no, we're not in a position to submit any design or can make application for funding on that project yet. It hasn't been worked up well enough.
It's something to think of. The ramp design at Cooler you mentioned the other night, firstly the costs and when's it going to be designed? So the community can see. That's 362-18-19. Do we have a serious design for that yet? Ramp, disability access into the chamber.
Oh, sorry, through you, Mr. Mayor. This is the one we spoke about earlier, the ramp. So we have a what I believe is a concept design, and we're looking at that. We're working with that and putting some detail around that before we, and as well as putting together a scope of works and documents to go at the quotation.
My next one's the electronic key trial, resolution 52-1920. Since they've been installed so late, will that trial be effective or not to judge whether to roll it?
Well, it's look at it both ways through you, Mr. Mayor. It'll give us enough information about, you know, even if it's, for example, half a dozen users over a couple of days, it'll tell us if it's going to be, how successful it's going to be or not.
There was also Resolution 106, 1920, Council-owned Hall report back to the February meeting. I did mention that the other night. Hasn't happened along with the shop local one. Just one sort of query.
Mr. Mayor, I don't want to ambush Kevin with this one, but take it on notice. The bridge over Gamble Creek that Malcolm Jones has been going crook about, I was of the opinion that that was budgeted for in the first term of Warrumbungle Shire Council to finish those bridges off that Peter Manning built in the dying days of the old Cooler Shire Council. They've never been finished. There's one there and one down on, I think it's Mount Beanie Road, first road to the left, going towards Dunedoo after the merry-go-and turn-off. There's a bridge built down in there too, and the abutments weren't done, to my knowledge. What would ever happen to that money?
That item's not in there.
Because?
It's not in the resolutions.
But it was in the a former term of council, and the job was never done. So where did the money go that was budgeted for?
We're currently dealing with, though, Councillor, the outstanding resolutions report as opposed to what was in the budget previously. I think that if you want to raise that particular issue, then you try and get into the budget that we're going to be dealing with at the next council meeting.
It was in a budget before, though, and it's never happened.
Not in the budget currently.
Well, the bridge hasn't been changed, and we're going to cop at an extraordinary expense very soon because the next big rain event, we'll get the Windhoe Road there. There'll be a bridge with no lead up to it.
If I might add, Mr. Mayor, I'm aware of the condition of that bridge. It's similar to two others that I'm aware of where the abutments have washed and undermined, and we're looking at ways we can repair that. There's no strategy at the moment upgrading those bridges, though.
Any more? Motion, those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 19, revote report.
Mover.
Councillor Shenton, Councillor Nett. Question this item. Councillor Cable.
Just a suggestion. The master plans for the various sporting precincts, please at the beginning of the process engage the stakeholders, not once you've drafted a plan, because it's all too late then. You need to know their long-term vision before you start coming up with what you think. I can speak from experience when we did the Bowen Oval one.
Well, thanks, through you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks for those comments. So I might add that our initial focus is on renewal of existing infrastructure, change rooms and buildings as such, and prioritising that. But certainly development is part of the plan, and we will be consulting with user and user groups where they're available.
Any more discussion on these items? Councillor Doolan.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, just below that item that was just mentioned, in the water, we've got some Binaway bore, Cooler bore, Mandoran bore. With the projects completed, money left over, and we've requested to be able to use the funds for other water-related projects. Have we got any update on whether we're allowed to reuse that money somewhere else?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, not really at this point in time. I think one of those was for upgrades to the electrics at Mandoran. I think that one might be right to go and might be achieved in the time frame, but for the other two, no. I don't have any more information on those at this stage.
We haven't been very successful in trying to talk the government into moving those priorities.
That's we're given more money than we needed, and we'd like to hang on to it.
We've been trying.
I should have probably raised that with Mr. Butler when he was here before. Would he be of assistance lobbying relevant people?
A lot of water's gone since then, so to speak.
Fair bit of money there, though. That
yes.
Be better in our local government area than...
Hence, that's why we've been trying to secure the money, but we haven't been having much luck.
On this item. Motion those in favour. Carried unanimously. Item 20, draft community engagement strategy. Got a move. Councillor Brady, Councillor Cagle. On this item.
Looks good. Hopefully we can stick to it.
No comment on this. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 21, community liaison and community policy. Can I move her? Councillor Cable, Councillor Brady. Discussion this item. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? They're carried unanimously. Item 22, investment and term deposits. Month end of the 29th. Councillor Nuzzi, mover. Any discussion on this item? No discussion on this item? I'll put the motion. Carried unanimously. Home for Cooler Historical Society and Cooler Men's Shed. I'll put the motion. Over. Councillor Cable. Second to Councillor Hill. Any discussion this item?
Well, what will become of the Coolerin District Historical Society? Will it be a replication of the Coonabarabran show, or what will happen there?
Through Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure that I have an answer as to what their future is, but I am aware that they're talking with other groups about an accommodation, or one group in particular. I'm not sure how far that's gone, but as I think it's come through the report, the existing old VRA building is just not suitable for their needs. But they're not talking with council about another building, they're talking with another group.
On this item? Motion, those in favour, carried unanimously. Item 24, Coonawarra Bypass update and design. About Councillor Nutsi, Councillor Cable. Motion on this item.
How's the working group going?
Well, you can answer that if you like.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The meeting, first meeting is on next Monday afternoon. So.
Well, then my question is, are there slip-bys for the turns going to be there? For turning vehicles?
Yes, three, Mr. Mayor. I think you've gone to the heart of concerns in some respects, particularly the Pearly War intersection. And so with the current arrangements, there are right turn bays and acceleration lanes, and that's incorporated. But how adequate they are, we'll find out, and that's the advantage of having local group, local people have a look at it, and whether or not they think they can turn a truck and accelerate into a line of traffic that's doing 110 kilometres an hour.
We also need to consider the future proofing in case Pearly War Road ever becomes a longer than B double route.
And certainly that's been taken into account too, particularly. Yes, so that you're talking about traffic travelling east-west, like Pearly War Road, Barradine Road, and how they might get through or around Coonawarra. That's correct.
Motion, those in favour. Carried. Councillor Cable and Brady. Councillor Cable and Brady, you... carried unanimously. Item 25, McMaster's Park Toilet and Cooler. Councillor Mover, Councillor Cable, Councillor Lurchy.
Just a question.
Councillor Cable.
I do hope those pipes have been protected from frost now.
Yes, I'm sure that, you know, there's been a bit of work in conjunction with the Lions Club to fix that up.
Only about a month away.
Question this item. Motion. Those in favour. Carried unanimously. Item 26, Coonawarra Emergency Water Supply Project. Councillor Nutsi. Councillor Cable. Any discussion this item?
At some stage, before the drought is a long-lost memory, we probably really need to look at the drought strategies and how to work the dam and all the bores for the next drought.
I agree on that. The only problem there is, Councillor, we still haven't got a decent allocation as far as our groundwater is concerned. Until we get the allocation, there's not much use in doing that.
I understand that. I just think, just while we've got the people that have been through it, so we're not 10 years down the track, 15 years down the track with another huge drought, and nobody has got any corporate knowledge of what happened this time. I think if we could somehow find, obviously it would cost money if there's some funding out there that could help once we get the allocation, so we now will know how to better lengthen our time with the good water supply and maybe need to look at trigger points earlier.
Sorry, I'd offer a criticism there, Councillor. The problem with the trigger points was we didn't actually adhere to them last time round.
Yeah, but we also need to know if they're the right points, or do we have to change them? Or if there's a sudden population increase here, does that mean we have to change them? Things like that. I just would hate to see us go forward without lessons learned. I know every farmer's reviewing what their strategies are.
That's an item. Over. Carried unanimously. Item 27, water restrictions across the local government area.
Here's the first step in that process, Councillor.
So I flagged it.
Mover, Councillor Cable, Councillor Shinton. Any discussion this item? Councillor Nutty. There's a tweak into Roger couldn't hear.
Not that I can't hear, Mr. Mayor. It's the public who listened to the meeting can't hear.
I believe that we shouldn't have any water restrictions if we've got plentiful water supply as we do now. We're also going into winter, something we could revisit as the hotter weather resumes later in the year. But I feel that government should only intervene when it really has to in people's day-to-day activities, and at the moment, if we've got plenty of water, why do we need to restrict what people do?
I agree with Chairman.
Yeah, I can remember at the town meetings here, everyone wanted to know why aren't we on level one restrictions all of the time, because the water disappeared so quickly. And everyone seemed to be prepared to wear level one restrictions year round as their contribution to the water supply.
Well, my concern with this is the we were just discussing last night about the water fund and water sales, and we're looking at shortcomings and shortfalls in the income for the water fund, and it's designed to limit water sales. So I think we could just adopt this modified level one. I think that's not a bad idea, but possibly we have, in line with what Councillor Capel was saying there before, just a step that comes in at 90% or something. You know, when the dam's below that, well, then it kicks in. But if we've got the thing spilling, which it's not, but if we do, why do we need a water restriction? Always, you know.
And just on your suggestion in the recommendations, I personally wouldn't like a high pressure water cleaner on the wall of a timber house. I think you'd lose a lot of paint.
On this item. I'd like to move amendment, Councillor.
Well, it would be easy enough to do for Coonabarabran if we just nominate a level in the dam, and this modified level one, which I think is not a bad idea, but if it, you know, if we 90% is a figure, what would be the trigger points for the other towns? You know, if the rivers running past Mandoran at a banker. What's the problem with people watering their garden?
Better save in Barrowdane too, bloody water.
I could get some guidance what those trigger points would be. As I said, Coonabarabran's probably an easier one. You can just nominate, pick a figure for the dam, but what would the councillors from other places suggest you do?
For you, Mr Mayor, to Kevin or whoever's doing the water, with the bores in the other towns as a water source, is there enough historical data in the measuring to know when it's on the downhill slide of recharge? Or is it only Dunedoo's got that good data to be able to tip into knowing when restrictions are going to have to start coming into play?
Through you, Mr Mayor, from what I've seen, Dunedoo's the only one that's got good data. Certainly Binaway, of course, it doesn't, and Mandoran doesn't. Yeah, it's only Dunedoo at this stage. Barrowdene, I haven't seen too much of the historical data on it either. So, yeah, in my limited time with water, it's only Dunedoo that I can assist with, unless Kevin can advise more.
In relation to Barrowdene, the issue at Barrowdene is more about the ability of the plant to actually keep up the supply as opposed to the water source itself.
Would that improve with the clarifier, if we can swing that? There's a lot of balls in the air to, because I think it's very hard to make a blanket decision based on one community if the others have got other
baselines. Mr Mayor, my opinion is our ratepayers have done it bloody tough and survived through the drought. We've had little old ladies watering with teapots and Christ only knows what to keep their plants alive. It's rained, the drought appears to be over in the short term. Let's give them a reward and give them the water back with no restrictions. And it's not as if we're giving them the water for nothing. They get charged for it. If they use too much, they pay. It might make your bottom line for your water budgets look better.
I can move an amendment on that.
Move an amendment. Does that affect you?
I have a seconder. Amendment?
Well, the amendment would be that Council notes the report on water restrictions in the local government area and deletes point two. And that, in effect, would just mean that we follow the existing drought management plan.
That usage be monitored and whatever, but give them a go with no water restrictions for a while. I think you make a lot of people happy.
Councillor, they're all currently on level one water restrictions, not level two.
Well, there's a lot of people, especially the elderly, cannot understand why when we've had so much rain and the dam's filling up. We've put in all the bores. Why have we got to have water restrictions at all?
I agree too at the moment.
It's a bit of a no-brainer. Yeah.
So I think per se, just having...
Yeah, put it in with a modification for each town when they're due.
If council was to resolve tonight just that it notes the report only, then we would move to lift water restrictions in all towns across the local government area to have no restrictions at this point in time. We only have level one in place at this moment, pending this report. But I would have to say that I don't think there would be that big of a change between in consumption between level one and no restrictions at this point in time. The change comes, of course, in the hotter months.
Two inches of rain next week, you'll see the water probably running over the walls.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? I mean, you could have no restrictions.
Need a seconder for the minute. Councillor Brady.
Well, I think, in line with what Councillor Iannuzzi is saying there, I think this modified level one, just we want it to come in, not all the time, but just come in sooner. I think that was the point you were making there through Mr. Mayor to the General Manager, that last time we might have erred in not being going quicker with our restrictions, and that would be the problem that I would see with having no restrictions on the water. We just need to be able to bring the first half halt onto the consumption. We need to bring that in early, and I was just picking a figure, you know, for Coonabarabran, if it was once the dam's below 90% or something like that, you know, we could bring it in then. So could we have a report come back to us that would flesh that out? That would what the trigger points could be for each of the towns to bring that in?
We can. The difficulty is, Councillor, that we're quite inundated with projects to deal with at the moment, and if you want us to make that the priority over dealing with some of those other projects, that's what we've got to do. We can't do both at the time.
We can just leave it as the amendment then. We'll just
order. Council notes this report on water restrictions across. What did Councillor Nutty? And what do you want?
That's fine.
Are you agreeable to that? I'll put the amendment up. Amendment becomes a motion. Gets carried. Amendment becomes a motion. You vote on it. Okay. Everybody, okay. Councillor Lewis?
I'm for it, yeah. I've moved it, I've got to be for it.
Hidden. Go for it.
As well, yeah.
And Russ. Item number 28, condition assessment of existing groundwater bore breakers. Councillor Shinton, second Councillor Hill. Question this item?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Of the two attachments, the second one was the Lower Macquarie Water Users Group, and I read through that report, and Part C, page 9, says carry out reservoir drop tests to determine leakage. Have we ever done that?
Are you, Mr. Mayor, not that I'm aware of.
I've always been under the impression that the leakage in Coonabarabran is extremely high, and in the other towns. I know that there's technology around now that they can hear, yeah, they put some sounding device out, they can hear the water running away, but I know in Sydney, I think it was Bankstown Council, I read that report not so long back, and it was, I think it was a 43% loss, and they're now using the technology and finding the leaks all over the place and trying to fix up the problem. But Here, all we do is put the cost of water up, and what we're producing is probably running to waste. I was just wondering if we've been looking at that at all through the group, because it seems, I know it's right through the council. I know Canamble's in a shocking state, but I just.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's not something I've come across, but maybe Roger and Kevin have in their time with water. I know loss in the supply was something that our water manager certainly was interested in, so I don't know how far she went with that.
Sorry, just to carry on, I know it's part of the old OROC, so yeah, is there anything going to be done, do you think?
It's unfortunately, it's not high priority at this point in time because of these other projects that we've got running in water and sewage at this point in time.
More discussion on this item? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Councillor Nucci, carried. Yeah. Item 29, Dunny Do Sewer. Not charged, connected, not connected. Over. Councillor Hill. Seconder. Nancy. Any discussion on this item? No discussion?
Just a query. I guess obviously they've been operated connected for quite a while, these people. How was that missed before? Like, is there a process when a plumber taps in, you might be able to answer this, into mains, do they have to communicate with council?
You can ask us to do the job. As a tradie, we can't just go and tell them you've got to connect the sewer. And I think I might abstain from voting on this one because someone might ask me to do the job.
Possibly say that Councillor Lewis didn't inform us.
This property's not connected in on all.
I understand that. I'm more the ones that are connected that haven't been charged. Is there any process?
The problem is, Councillor, as far as I'm concerned, it's poor communication within the council itself. That when something has happened in one arm of the organisation, they haven't informed the other arm of the organisation.
The only thing I could say is they're connected illegally.
Well, that's the other alternative.
Yeah.
But.
But even if they are connected illegally, then we still should be charging them as a non-connected property because they're within 75 metres of a main.
I've got to have my work inspected and signed off by council before I'm allowed to backfill the trench, actually. So
that's my question. Where did this mishap stem from, by the sounds of it, internally rather than...
But these go back years.
Yeah.
Years.
So can we just double check that process is also sorted to make sure we don't have them go missing?
That's this item. I'll put the motion. Very unanimously. Early Inland Rail update, March 2020. Any discussion on this item? Motion. Item 31, land use planning changes to assist communities recover from New South Wales bushfires. Got a mover? That's on this item. That's I put the motion. Carries. Notice of motion, management of trees along Council Road. Councillor Lewis.
Mr Mayor, the reason I put this in was...
Okay. We've got to get a second first. Councillor Brady.
Yeah. In light of the recent bushfires and there were casualties because of trees falling over roads and trapping fire vehicles, the amount of fuel on the sides of the roads, the policy we got where people are not allowed to remove dead timber, use Merrigan Road as an example. If you're moving stock along that road, which is a designated stock route, you've got to put everything down the bitumen because the sides of the road are that dense, you can't ride a quad bike or horse through it. It's something that really needs looking at. I've had to put a budget in there, Roger's request for $100,000, but at the moment, every time there's a puff of wind, we've got staff out taking fallen down trees off the road. One been across the Piambra Road for about 5 days now, they haven't been out to move. It's just long overdue. And when I was a young bloke, or when right up the time I was married and living in Lithgow City Council, we could get a permit and go and get our firewood on the side of the road without any worries. I think it should be, that policy should be brought back. I don't think there should be any vegetation whatsoever within 6 metres of the side of the road, apart from short grass. I think this would save more wildlife than what it would kill, because you can't see them when you're driving along. That's very, very evident at the moment. The growth of the grass and stuff along the side of the roads is like driving down a tunnel at night time. I'll put my notice of motion and see how it goes, but I think we should change our policy dramatically.
Question on this?
How would this impact where the private property comes closer than that 6 metres? Like along Cooler Creek Road, it's 6 metres either side, you're in some landowners at some points.
If it's a stock route, it should be 3 chains wide.
Not a stock route.
I can't talk about if it's not a stock route. Yes. Stock routes are 3 chains.
What's the road reserve width, Kevin? Can you tell us?
Certainly, Mr Mayor, but the road reserve width varies, anything from 20 metres to 60 metres, but there may be some road reserve widths down to 15 metres. That may be the case along Cooler Creek Road. But I think the intent here is that if there's timber within the runoff area of a road, 5 metres, a clear zone is normally the width, but that'll come back in a report, and these matters will be covered in a report, I gather.
I can tell you there's a tree happily growing right on the edge of the bitumen between Hidden Valley and Ginnawar on Cooler Creek Road, and it's about that high now.
The trouble is I think we need a lot more money to shift the trees that died from what we got in the budget.
Yeah.
A mature tree out near Wally Walker's place on Warrumbungle Way, it's diverted the water off the stormwater pipe underneath the road to across the road, where we've got a big sand monkey in the last lot of heavy rain. The stormwater pipe, I think, is about 600 mil, just looking at it driving past. It's within about 2 metres of where that sand monkey went across the road. That's just something that's long overdue, and we've got to do something about it.
Brady?
I've just got a comment. Like at the bottom of the golf club on River Road, there's mature trees all along there. Now, the properties adjacent to that have lost their fences with the last lot of rain, and trees are all down. The table drains are chock-a-block full of, fallen over trees as well. So there's some massive trees there still standing, but then also laying down. And that River Road was blocked along, and then Purleywall Road with their washout too, so there was no access. One more.
Is this something that can be put in an amendment to the natural disaster? Because if we've got timber in our drains and whatnot, it's the result of that storm, a lot of it. Heavy winds, knocking over the trees, putting them into the table drains. I mean, you've got a huge build-up between, I think it's Mo Rock Shed and Popengai on the side of the road in a culvert. You've got a year's worth of firewood sitting down there up against the culvert there that hasn't been moved yet. So is that something we could add to that for funding?
Through Mr. Mayor, that aspect of removing timber, fallen timber, washed up against fences and in creek lines, I'd have to explore that a bit further with through Transport for New South Wales. I'm not sure that that would get over the line, but it might. I'll need to ask that question.
It was up against the ridge, wouldn't it, Kevin?
It's damage to infrastructure, though, isn't it?
So, yes, the funding assistance is for damage, but it is also for emergency work, so clearing sediment and making roads passable. You know, you've heard me say that it's there is emergency funding for making roads passable, getting rid of scours and removing timber if it's on the road. So,
what if it's in the table drain and obviously that redirects water? You've got silt higher than the road in some areas that's in the table drain at the moment, which will affect your infrastructure next time it decides to have a deluge.
Yeah, so the question will come back, well, what's the difference between doing that work under normal maintenance and recognising it as a disaster, part of a disaster?
I tend to have 20 tonne of silt along your road edge in, you know, 2 hours as opposed to regular maintenance.
Like this Merrygoan Road, that stretches as going down to Denny Kai Mine Road. To me, you know, it goes over Denny Kai Mine Road. That's probably one of the worst areas that in the southern end of the Shire.
Yep.
That probably needs same if we start chopping down trees that somebody can't have a little job to chop them all up and sell them for firewood.
That'll be a big legal risk if you let them do it on the road.
Oh, well, I didn't quite mean it like that, but somehow, you know, I think it's dreadful people have trees in paddocks and all ready to put a match to them when the winter comes. I can't understand why somebody
more discussion on this item.
Yeah, well, I'm in broad support of the first part, and I wonder would Councillor Lewis be happy if we get a report back first, and then we see what the policy is, and then we can see what is done, and we work out what extra might be done and how much that might cost after that, possibly. Personally, I had to take a chainsaw to a tree on the Warrigal Lane on Sunday. It was hanging over. I couldn't get an air seater past there, and someone came along and said, have you got permission to do that?
You're breaking the law.
Well, I just said, how much does a councillor put a bill in for using a chainsaw on a Sunday to chop a tree off the road? But, would you be happy with that if we saw what the practice is and got that codified, and then we can go from there?
Because it's no good at the moment. People have died because of it, the branches and the things, and I hope it's not a member of my brigade next time.
Oh, yeah, no, we could waste all night here talking about all the roads that got trees on them, but if we were brought up to speed on what the policy is, and maybe we can make some changes about what it should be.
What's your opinion? We just go to number one and
let's
leave
do that. One for the minute and then get the report, and then we work out what needs to be changed and how much that might cost after that.
I can do that.
Do that, yes.
Agreeable, Councillor.
I just have a suggestion. This might also be something that needs to go to a local government conference, because urban areas, this isn't an issue. It's the regional and rural areas, this is an issue, and if legislation is going to be a hurdle, we're going to have to get that changed to make it's safe for the roads.
I think that's right about that. I think the fallen timber, you know, I was at a fire on the Dantry Road there, whenever that was, that fire out there, and laughing at the sign saying, don't pick up the wood on the side of the road, and there's no wood left there because it's all burnt. And I thought, you know, what a waste.
Lewis is the second
up. And I think that's not our rule. I had a try of that about the fallen timber before, and was informed that's not a council rule, that's a state government rule, so that'll have to be.
But that raises it up. Everybody in favour? Carried unanimously.
That's number one, not number two.
Know what I'm doing. Sorry. Are we putting up the amendment or what? What are we doing? We're putting up the amendment. Yeah, okay, I'll vote for the amendment.
I'll put the amendment up as a motion now. Everybody agreeable? Carried unanimously. Fred? Carried unanimously. Item number 33, water tanks and plumbing in Coonabab and Fringe for Rural Fire Service.
I'll move that.
I can second that. Councillor Brady. Councillor Hill. Can I speak up? No.
I'll second the motion if you haven't.
I'll second. Everybody in favour of it?
Can I comment?
Any for funding. That's all we're doing.
Oh, righty.
Yep.
Councillor Cable, carried unanimously. Notice of motion. Coonabab Historical History Group tenancy at Coonabab VIC. Remover, Councillor Shinton. Councillor Nancy. Comment on this item?
Yes, this has been going on for a fair while now, and we've had meetings with the group, and when we were talking about a peppercorn rent, you have had cross purposes there, because I was thinking more like a dollar, exactly what's happened in Cooler, yet this group, theirs is going to be $500 per annum. I think we're going to have to start looking at these community groups and being a little bit more community-minded when we come to charges for them. In some towns, we seem to ride with the people. In Coonabarabran, we seem to go against them. So it's obviously the discussions that setting this rent and the MOU have caused problems, and I think that we should be a little bit more amicable with the way we treat these groups. They supply good work for free. They're helping out in the visitor information centre, but they're having a problem with the $500 because they're not a commercial entity, and also the MOU. They don't wish to pay money. Something that was discussed at a couple of meetings ago, where we can look at some sort of agreements that you can buy in a news agency and change the wording. But I know that these people didn't want it to come to that, but it looks like it's come to that because we don't seem to be able to bed it down. So that's why they phoned up and said, can we now try and set some ground rules so that they don't have to pay through the nose for accommodating and working in that building.
Yeah. item. Motion, those in favour. Carried unanimously. Notice of motion. Kilbarron Golf Club refund for non-compliant discharge fees. Favour. Councillor Brady. Councillor Hill.
Only from an administrative point of view, Mr Mayor, that if Councillor wishes to progress down the field of or the path of providing that waiver, it's effectively a donation, so we have to go through the Section 356.
Why isn't it a reimbursement?
Because it's a charge, so you're effectively wavering, you're effectively giving them a donation. It doesn't matter what you call it, it's still a donation.
I suppose we've heard from Bill Brown tonight. We know they're in dire situations. I think as council and as community people, we need to support our organisations. The golf club is a, you know, a vital asset to our community, and you know, I really think if we have to go down the donation line to get it across the line, I'm happy for that. Volunteer people working hard, and they're against the odds to get their, you know, obviously they wanted to be compliant and that, but working with volunteer people, it's hard to get motivated, and I'd really benefit them.
Mr Mayor, you've got to also take into account that it's not long, the golf club haven't been on the sewer for that long, and they did the town a big service by giving themselves the cost of being compliant and hooking up to the sewer and putting in a system that had worked to pump their fluid uphill, et cetera, et cetera. So they have been having a go as a club. Unfortunately, they had an administration in there for a little while that let the side down a bit, but they've been genuinely having a go, and I think it's only fair that you, as Roger says, waive that additional fee for them to help them keep on being, whatever the word is, having enough money to operate.
And I have not seen their financials, but yeah, we've got Zoe Holcomb going around doing community blow-up movie nights and things like that to support the community. Like, I think this is a way of us paying, you know, paying them back. And, you know, council has branded some of her nights, like, with council branding as well. So we've got, you know, a bit of air time for her good works.
Question? I'll put the motion.
Mr Mayor, just from an administrative point of view, do you mind then if we just reword the motion so it fits in line with the donation process? Seconded to that, Mr Mayor? Councillor Hill? Yep. So I just need to reword it so that it fits in line with that donation process as opposed to the outright refund.
So this is, I suppose, the question. The monetary value we're giving back to them, is it the $3,388? Is it minus the thing? I don't want it, you know, to be in the same situation as Quinda and people on different pages.
It should be the difference.
It'd be the $29,48.14, I should imagine.
Is that your intent, Councillor? 2,948?
Yep, I'm happy with that.
Motion, those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 36.
Yes, Mr Mayor. Reports to be considered in closed council. Item 36 is Organisational Development Monthly Report. A recommendation there for it to be considered in closed council under 10A2A of the Local Government Act.
Councillor Hill. The motion, those in favour, carried unanimously.
Item 36.2, Merrill Minute, General Manager's Interim Performance Review. A recommendation for it to be considered in closed council under 10A2A of the Local Government Act.
Motion, those in favour, carried unanimously.
Mr Mayor, the opportunity now exists for those members of the public present to come forward and express their reasons why council should not consider these items in closed council. There being no submissions, Mr Mayor, then there's a recommendation there for this to be considered in closed council.
Table. Councillor Hill, favour. Councillor Lewis, carried.
I'll go into closed council. You stopped it. Mr Mayor, just returning from closed council. The resolution in relation to item 36.1 was that the Organisational Development Monthly Report for March 2020 be noted for information. That was on the motion from Councillors Lewis and Hill. And in relation to 36.2, Merrill Minute, I'll have to hand that one over to you.
We offered you a four-year contract, Mr General Manager.
Oh, thank you. That's what council resolved?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Moved.
We didn't move.
I'll move
it. Councillor Newton. Second, Councillor Lewis.
And Nutsi, second by Lewis. Being no further business, Mr. Mayor?
No further business.
Close the meeting.
Close the meeting.